It's amazing that the scripture tells us that Nabal was a very great man. From the perspective of success, he is somebody that, if I can say it this way, had a successful, very successful life. Business is going well. Riches are in place. And he also does have a wife that is a very good wife from the words that the Spirit of God tells about his wife. So it seems to be a household that does have a potential. When David comes and appeal to Nabal, the answer would be, the response would be to the positive. But because Nabal, as the words that was mentioned by Abigail, he was worthless. And he was somebody that would fall. That's foolish. It reminds me of someone that was a great in his days, was very much respected in his people, the Syrian leader, Naaman the Syrian. But he was a leper. He was a leper. The appeal came to that man that, well, there is a hope, there is a man of God. Well, the difference is Naaman went and submitted to the God of Israel. Nabal was defying, kind of like going against what David was saying in all humbleness. So the Lord would not really force his lordship on us. It has to be something that is understood and accepted to be enjoyed.
But the link really, or the principle that differentiate between Abigail and Caleb, is upon which principle are we living? Is it the principle of faith, or is it the principle of sight? Abigail was living on the principle of faith. David was rejected, but she acknowledged him as Lord. Nabal was living on the principle of sight. As far as he's concerned, David was a runaway servant, worthless. That's as far as David is concerned. And the world today living on those principles. Is the Lord Jesus Lord to us as we claim? Though the whole world look at him and he said, who is he, that despised man? They might just, the best they could say about him, well, he was a good man. But what is he to you and I? And that becomes very individual, as you mentioned. She acknowledged him as my Lord. My Lord. She always referred to him. It's an individual, personal relationship that she have with him in the time of his rejection. And really, it goes back to that. What principle are we living in? Are we living on the principle of sight, or are we living on the principle of faith?
But isn't it significant, though, that even before we delve into the defiant behavior of Nabal and the pleasant responses of Abigail in acknowledging his lordship, in the very introduction, as we are given who Nabal is, we are also given who Abigail is. And she has a feature about her that is very special. It's just like David. You remember when David was defined for us in chapter 16? It says he had, in chapter 16, it says he had a beautiful countenance. What verse was that again?
18.
In verse
16, verse 12.
It says he had a lovely countenance. And that same feature is what's coming out here in Abigail. She has a beautiful countenance. So she is taking on character from David. Even long before David comes on the scene, as it were, and she has to kind of avert the danger that was going to be brought upon Nabal's household. She had already a special feature that was similar to that of David.
And that's because she sees David as special.
Yes.
In contrast with Nabal. It all comes down to appreciation of David or non-appreciation of David. So you see in verse 10, Nabal says, who is David?
Yes.
And he says, and who is the son of Jesse? There be many servants. He's just one amongst many. Doesn't see the specialness of David, the uniqueness of David. And then moral features of Nabal is his selfishness, where he speaks of my bread, in verse 11, my water, my flesh, my shearers, like my, and no appreciation. And like you say, David, Abigail, she takes on the features of David. She has an appreciation for him, for who he is, and also especially, as you see later in the chapter, his coming kingdom. That the whole purpose of God in connection with Israel is bundled up with David, or David's bundled up with it.
It's remarkable when you think here are two people. They grew up in the same circumstances. They all had access to the same amount of wealth and what they had. In the same household, everything the same. Sometimes, you know, we tend to speak about, well, he isn't in good circumstances, that's why he went that way, or vice versa. And we blame circumstances on the condition they're in. And I think that's why, as David presented to us here, that's why the Lord presents this household before us, before he even goes in to describe to us the effect, the results of that. But then I think here, to that, in that situation, the next thing that we hear then is David sent 10 young men. And what do these 10 young men speak about? They come there and they remind him of all the blessings that he had received. You know how many times we are satisfied with the blessings and we don't know the blesser. And that is what many follow. Many follow a Christian company. Many follow that, outwardly, that's where there is blessing. With that in mind, we find, but they fall far short of realizing the blesser from whom all these things come. So the test has to come, and it comes when the Lord Jesus is brought into the scene, into the picture. And these 10 men who come there, and they expose or remain, they come with a message of peace. Verse 6. Peace be to thee, peace be to thine house, and peace to all that it thou hast. And then brings to them that these blessings that they have is a result of David and of David's men. And the protection, here indirectly we see, that which comes from the Lord. The Lord gives the blessings, but when he is presented to them. And that all safety was a result of it. And then what it says, I pray thee, verse 8, whatsoever cometh to thine hand unto thy servants and to thy son David. And the answer then, already referred to briefly, they answered David and said, who is David and who is the son of Jesse? Reminds me of a passage in John chapter 9, where the blind man's eyes were opened. And they asked him, who is this? Well, it was Jesus. So he speaks about him. And they respond to him that, we know about this man. We don't know where he's from. These Pharisees that were well taught, they were, you might say, blessed and enriched with all that God had given to man naturally, the Jewish nation as such, but they were the leaders of that nation. We said, we know not this man. And they say, he's a sinner. Well, the blind man had his eyes open, and he had a better understanding of who this person was. And so beautiful then, I'd like to apply that. That is a test that all of us face, where the Lord is presented to us. Man makes a decision, man or woman, that person, takes a stand. Whenever that name comes up, we take a stand. Either I don't identify with that name, or we despise it, as they did here, or we identify with it. And when we identify with that name today, in this world, we will experience some of that same rejection as he experienced.